Among the devotees present here are several who are dynamic, accomplished preachers within Srila Prabhupada's movement. Several have gone to places where there was not much preaching going on, and now by their struggles in various places, Krishna consciousness, the Hare Krishna movement, is becoming known in these places. So I also, in my youth, was like that. I was sent out to remote spots with very little association, and was able to do, or given an opportunity to perform service in such places. So keep up the struggle. Struggle is good. Makes you strong. Then you have to surrender to Krishna. In bigger centers, it's easier to hide away in some corner or just rest in the comfort of being carried away by the strength of everyone else. But those who do pioneering work, then you just have to rely on the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's good for you and good for others, as Srila Prabhupada was told by his own guru. So practically, many of you are acting as gurus to others. Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amar agyai guru hoya taro edesh. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction is to preach the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and in this way, being a guru, deliver the land, this land. So those who are preaching are doing that. Still, I'm requesting that you sometimes all come together like this and hear from me. Though you're gurus, in one sense, people look up to you for guidance. Practically, you're guiding so many people, and that will increase. We pray that should increase more and more. But it's good that you all come, and from time to time you can come together like this, and we can perform Harinam Sankirtan together. And yeah, I'll speak more or less the same thing. Srila Prabhupada, if you hear his lectures, that's one of the glories. It's the same thing. It's this consistent message. In his earlier lectures, of course, Srila Prabhupada spoke in a very basic way, and later he brought in more topics. But consistent message. So I may say the same things. You may say the same things. We should all say the same things. What Krishna spoke to Vivasvan and later to Arjuna, later came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, should be the same thing. If there's anything different, there's a problem. So, but still, even though we ourselves are performing kirtan by preaching to others, we also need to hear. It's not that there comes any point where one is only performing kirtan and never shravan, that one is never hearing from others. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to bring kirtan to the whole world, he was also hearing. He heard Ramananda ask questions of him. Daily he would hear Bhagavatam when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Puri. He would daily hear Bhagavatam recited by Gadadhar Pandit. So, that's hearing should go on. And then in the association of devotees, sometimes we discuss together Madchitta, Madgata Prana, Bodhayanta, Paraspara, mutual discussion. Katiyantas Chamang Nityang Tushanti Charamanti Char. So then by discussing these topics, we'll find that topics of Krishna are unlimited. The same thing, but the depth, just like Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says that one can read Bhagavad Gita every day and he'll find fresh insights every day. It's not that he finds a different meaning exactly, but different insights on the same theme. It's not that you read it one day and then you have one understanding and then you read it another day and you have another understanding. But Krishna, who's in everyone's heart, he helps the devotee to understand his glories more and more, to realize his glories more and more. And the truths of Bhagavad Gita that we can see all around us, especially in the modern age, how the whole world is governed by material desire. This prominent theme in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks often of karma. So this is an example of how we get realization by discussing with others, by considering, seeing the world, what's going on, of what we study and understand in Shastra. So, discussing, hearing, speaking. The subject matter is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada particularly, more than any acharya, brought the of course, Vyasadeva gave a very broad spectrum of topics, but among Vaishnava acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, he commented on all kinds of issues from the Krishna conscious perspective. So we can do also. We can see Krishna and everything, everything in Krishna. Just to give an example, this morning, myself, I looked at the clouds, which may seem, why should you do that? And then I thought, well, no one looks at the clouds. But I was just seeing, it's like it's a great art show by Krishna every day. Well, not every day, but when there are clouds in the sky. Amazing formations. So that's all Krishna's artwork. So that's by Prabhupada's grace I could see that. Otherwise, I might have just looked at... Mostly people don't look at clouds, but I happen to. And I might have thought, well, that looks nice. But understanding this is how Krishna has arranged everything, this whole world. If human beings didn't make such a mess of it in the modern age, a lot of the world is actually very pleasant to see the countryside and the forests and the rivers. So how Krishna has arranged this, that we can live peacefully and chant Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada commented on so many social issues just so that people could live peacefully and chant Hare Krishna. It seems like it should be the easiest thing in the world, but somehow or other people, they find it very difficult to even imagine that it could be possible to do so. In the modern age, people just think it's normal to be totally agitated in mind all the time and to be part of a civilization in which people are in total anxiety and disturbed all the time, and people think that if you don't live like that, there's something wrong. Insanity. People are raised in cities and they go to the country and they feel uncomfortable because there's no tension or stress or sirens, no pollution. They feel something wrong here. So much of Srila Prabhupada's effort was he wanted to create communities in which devotees could live peacefully, talk about Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. But even among our devotees, it seems like they just can't imagine that it's possible to do so. Even though people have lived like that for thousands of years, but people can't imagine how is it possible to live just on the land and be satisfied. So that is also a great mission that several of you are taking up. It's a great mission to just live on the land and chant Hare Krishna. It's a bigger mission than going to the moon. One small step for man and one great step for mankind and all that kind of thing. But people think to send in the armies and conquer a land, conquer space. We have a bigger mission. What's that? Go to the land, grow vegetables, and chant Hare Krishna. People say, wow. What's so great about that? Well, that's the whole thing. There's nothing great about it. We're not trying to be great. That's the whole disease, trying to be great. Just don't try to be great. Just try to be who you are, servant of Krishna, that's all. So again, that might seem contradictory, saying that. Not trying to be great, because here I am sitting on this seat and you're all sitting looking at me. I made some comments about that, yeah. So I've spoken today earlier about how everyone requires Guru to understand Srila Prabhupada, just as in every generation. Srila Prabhupada accepted a Guru, his Guru accepted a Guru. Although it should be understood, and it is understood, hopefully, or should be understood, throughout ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada's position is not just some words, founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's not just that well, he happened to found the society. But we are all living on his mercy. And factually we see that devotees who receive much mercy from Srila Prabhupada, if they forget from where they're getting their mercy, and they think themselves independent of that mercy, then they become cut off from that mercy. In the Harmonist magazine of Gauriya Math at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there is one statement. This is from an article titled Thakur Bhaktivinod, about the position of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So just two lines, which I'm going to quote. There is an eternally impassable line of demarcation between the Savior and the saved. Those who are really saved can alone know this. So there are gurus in ISKCON. There will be many, there should be many. Srila Prabhupada himself actually wanted all his disciples to take up this role. It's the natural thing that a disciple should do. That what he's learned, he should share with others, teach others, guide others. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada's position is especially authoritative in ISKCON. There may be many gurus, but then their position is not as authoritative as that of Srila Prabhupada, because it is his books that we read, that are the law books of the Krishna conscious movement and should be of the whole world. Other books should be there. If Srila Prabhupada's books and his instructions do not inspire others to write books, then they're not very good books, are they? Even in the material field, any important book inspires the writing of so many other books. So these books, they're law books, not in the sense that they're dusty books. Books to be kept on a dusty shelf. But they're law books in as much as they set the standard and they should inspire. If they're actually, as we say, the guiding books for the next 10,000 years, then there should be all kinds of books which are produced from the inspiration from Srila Prabhupada's book. Srila Prabhupada wrote on so many subjects, and those subjects should be elaborated on in many books. Just like the history of the world needs to be rewritten from a Krishna conscious perspective. Actually, Krishna already gave it in Bhagavad Gita in two words. Dukhalaya mashashvatam. That's the history of the world. But for people who are interested in these things, and history is a very influential subject, it should be rewritten from a Krishna conscious perspective. Just like by rewriting history, this whole idea of the Aryan invasion theory has done so much damage to the whole world's understanding and appreciation of India and Indian culture. And they've promoted this idea of a Dravidian identity completely different from that of North Indian and Tamil, they're separate people. Just by manipulating and lying in the name of history. So there's one example of how history needs to be rewritten, or one subject that needs to be presented from a perspective that will debunk various or refute various wrong theories which are being made by demons to mislead others so that they will come out of Vedic culture. So cosmology, that needs to be rewritten. Actually, the only subject is to hear about Krishna. But because people have so many things to speak about and discuss, we should give them proper knowledge on the basis of Krishna consciousness. So actually, Srila Prabhupada's books, they should inspire in all fields huge libraries of books, just so people can get everything right. People, they tend to get hung up on just some small point, and then they can't understand. Just like there have been various theories floating around, poison theory and this and that, and then someone can write a whole book to refute it. And then I never read the arguments for or against. I didn't think the issue was even worth thinking about. But there are people who do, so all right, there's a book. There's all the arguments. You can read that if you like. So like that. People have so many theories. And in philosophy, so many ideas being brought up, and devotees, at least not all of them, but some should be expert enough to refute all the wrong ideas in science and philosophy. Srila Prabhupada met with so many people, and on the basis of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, he was able to find the defect in everyone, because anyone who's not Krishna conscious, they have so many defective ideas. And he was also able to understand what in some people's philosophy might be right and bring it to the proper conclusion. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was very much against communism as it was going on in the world at that time. But he also said that actually the idea is not bad, but it needs to be refined. So the idea of equality and non-exploitation, that's good, but without the proper understanding, it must come to exploitation again, which is what happened in communism. But spiritual communism means to see all living beings as part and parcel of Krishna, and to organize society with that understanding. So Srila Prabhupada, he often spoke of... So like this, this is just an example of how Srila Prabhupada would take various ideas and find out the fault and give the proper idea. So that needs to be expanded in many, many books. But Srila Prabhupada's... some devotees may become expert in various fields and engage with experts in various fields and give the proper conclusion according to Bhakti Vedanta. But Srila Prabhupada's books are the books that we, especially these four books Srila Prabhupada emphasized, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion. So these books, the understanding, gives the guiding principles for all members of this society. So we're all under the authority of Srila Prabhupada, and others may be authoritative as much as they follow Srila Prabhupada. This may seem like a very simple and straightforward statement, and it is. But it needs to be spoken and understood. Not to think that, well, Srila Prabhupada was, he was a guru, he was a sadhu, so I can also be a guru and a sadhu. And he said some things and I'll say some things. And If I don't agree with him, well, that's all right. It's not all right. Agyanatimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. It's not like in the modern idea that you take some ideas from some people. If you like some ideas, okay, I like that. Yeah, this other idea, I don't like that. It's a very dangerous attitude. It doesn't work in spiritual circles. It doesn't work. So, my sitting here above you, that's a very dangerous position. But safe position, if I always understand that Srila Prabhupada is above me, and should be actually above, I mean even physically, not side by side. I mean maybe it's like half a centimeter above, but actually above, that is the proper position. Just like I see so many times in my disciples' houses, they keep the photos and my photo next to that is Srila Prabhupada. Better below, in smaller picture, understand what is the position. So, yeah, this is the Vyasa Puja ceremony going on, which worshipping me. But it's called Vyasa Puja, not Bhakti Vikas Swami Puja. It's not that particularly I am to be worshipped, but because I am representing Srila Prabhupada, who is representing all the acharyas, beginning with Vyas, therefore, on that basis, I can be bold enough to accept this worship, understanding that who am I? Constitutionally, very small. Jiva is very small. So, what is my position? What is Srila Prabhupada's position? Great acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I've mentioned several times. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, great acharya. We shouldn't think that the only thing he did was initiate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But by his being in this world, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj demonstrated what it means to be a devotee of Krishna, fully absorbed in Krishna, with no interest in the world whatsoever. So other acharyas, for the sake of bringing others up, or bringing people into Krishna consciousness, then bringing them up, they may accept social roles, but the actual ideal that we may not imitate is that of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. We should not try to imitate. So who are these great acharyas? They're recognized by devotees, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed his own identity as a maidservant in the group of Raja Gopis. So, these are great acharyas, come from the spiritual world. Their contributions, again, there should be so many books written on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This book, I compiled Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. We shouldn't think, well, that's it. That's the book written about him. But there should be hundreds and thousands of books written about Prabhupada and his contributions. There's so many books written. People write so many nonsense things. Novels. Every year, thousands of just complete nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. Imaginary people. The imaginary activities of imaginary people. Just meaningless, totally. So better the learned people of this world, they study the lives of our Vaishnava Acharyas and write about them. That requires not exactly some literary skill, but that requires the submission, devotion, to even have any idea who these people are. There is an eternally impassable line of demarcation between the Savior and the saved. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore. Well, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj didn't seem like an ordinary person. But in many ways, Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. Grihastha, government officer. But who he is actually, what is his spiritual position, what has he given to the world? This should be the subject, intellectual inquiry. Intellectuals of the world, they're putting their intelligence into understanding so many subjects. Shrota vyadini rajendranirnang santi sahasrasha. To discussing thousands and thousands of topics. They'll never be satisfied. They'll never do any benefit to themselves or others by doing so. So if we can bring to the attention of the world that such people have been in this world, lived in this world, why don't you want to study? They're writing biography. Now definitely someone's going to write a biography of Steve Jobs, because he just died, and you write a biography and it'll sell a million copies. Several biographies have been written on Mahatma Gandhi. What actual benefit is to the world? People don't know who are these personalities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Narottam Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. So we should bring this to the attention of the public. Of course, the people are very, very dull-headed. So stupid. And the whole society makes them more and more stupid. So, anyway, by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, gradually people will come to realize who are actually the important people of the world. So many swamis, yogis, misleading people, they become popular. They have many followers, and people think because they're popular and they have followers, they're very important. But no, even a very neophyte devotee of Krishna is in a much more laudable position than any of these Mayavadis. Even the big Vedic scholars and very austere, or whatever, famous. So we should understand who are the Vaishnava Acharyas. Parampara jano bhalo mate. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wrote this song giving the names of the prominent Vaishnava Acharyas, which his disciples were supposed to recite daily. So we daily meditate upon the Acharyas in our parampara. Who are they? What are their contributions? What have they given? What are their teachings that we have to follow and understand? These teachings of Krishna, we are receiving them as in that famous lecture, we are receiving Prabhupada, we are receiving knowledge through disciplic succession. So it's not just a list of names. Who are these persons? What have they given? For that we'll have to study. Srila Prabhupada in his introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that we can go through the writings. He gives a list of the Bhagavatam commentaries. He gives a list of several acharyas who have commented on Bhagavatam. So he may not all have the time to do so. And many of these commentaries are still not translated from Sanskrit. Of course, you can also learn Sanskrit and go through them. But this should be the subject matter for the future, which I make farm communities where people can live peacefully, and people may say, well, what will we do there? Time you can study. You can, if you're intellectually inclined, then certainly in the course of your life you can go through the Acharya's commentaries. This morning I was noting how here in Rameshwaram, I thought it was just yesterday, because I thought maybe because it's Vaikuntha Ekadashi, that the women are doing beautiful rangoli designs with many colors, which we don't see everywhere in the cities. We don't see them. Who is that with me? Gauranga Prasad. He said that. Oh, was that you? It was you. Yeah. Yesterday, it was Gauranga Prasad. I said the same thing. He said that, well, in the cities, they don't have time. That's exactly it. The people are so busy in the cities, they don't have time for anything. Just eat, sleep, and work, and have sex. But culture, to follow all these cultural practices, requires time. So Srila Prabhupada said that these communities, the main purpose of our farm community is so that people will have time to chant Hare Krishna, to practice Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada wrote that devotees can go through all these different commentaries, and we hope that in future that will all manifest. As it was in the past, there were so many scholars who were so rich in their understanding. It was a very common thing. We can see from the preaching of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that it was a very normal thing that people at that time had what at the present time we would consider vast knowledge of Shastra. Among his disciples, they would quote among themselves all different verses from all different parts of Vedas and Puranas, and all different lecture on different topics, and what we would consider highly learned. That was a normal thing. So that culture has been destroyed. There are various factors, mostly the industrial civilization has destroyed all that. So that's all to be revived. But still, even though we have to study previous acharyas, their writings, their teachings, and then so many more books should be written, and so many spiritual leaders should emerge. But still, it's not that Srila Prabhupada's books will become just some other books. That's one point that Sahotra Swami often used to make, that we in our society, we haven't even begun to realize the depth and importance of Srila Prabhupada's books. And he himself was just starting to write so many books on different topics, and with so many quotes from Prabhupada's books, and showing how Srila Prabhupada's books, they shed light on so many different topics in ways that others hadn't even thought of. So, unfortunately, he was just starting to do that and had so much to offer. But anyway, others should come also and just realize how much Prabhupada has given us in his books. As Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. Short sentence. If you want to know me, read my books. 8 words. How much does it mean? To know Prabhupada? Generally, if we ask, do you want to know Prabhupada? I hope you don't say yes. Then how? How can you know Prabhupada? Read his books. So, yes, I'm saying that I was making that point. Where do I go from here? Yeah, so this Vyasa Puja ceremony, that's all right, and you're expected to praise me. But you should know the difference. If I, you're coming and praising me, that's all right. Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. But just see the difference. If I hadn't had the fortune to come to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, for myself, I don't know. Hellish life would have continued. Unimaginable for me now. But it wouldn't have made much difference to the world. Prabhupada had brought so many people to Krishna consciousness. But if Prabhupada hadn't come, that's unimaginable. Then there wouldn't be any Krishna conscious movement as we know it now. So there is a big difference, isn't there? Can you see that? So, at least I have to understand that very clearly. That this is all, this offering, praise, respect, all these things. So always I have to remember. I especially have to remember my smallness. What am I doing sitting up here? How did, you know, just some very ordinary, bewildered jiva I can't write a, you know, you want to write a biography, what is there to say? It was just some, you know, ordinary idiot leading a, you know, doing all the kind of stupid things that ordinary idiotic kids do at that age. And by Prabhupada's grace, I came to the shelter of his lotus feet. So, who am I? Jogyata bichare kichu nahi pai, tomara karunasha. That always has to be. At least, again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching. We don't even know how insignificant we are. But our acharyas take that position and teach us. If we think, yes, I'm here because I'm very good and I'm very great and all. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's actually a great acharya, teaches us not only what should be our mentality. It's not that, well, actually I'm very great, but I have to think like this because, you know, you're supposed to think like that. But to actually not to think, I'm great, but I'd better think that I'm small, but to actually understand that I am very small. So that understand our acharyas, they teach us in all respects. In every, we don't even, we're so accustomed to thinking of ourselves as very important that we can't even imagine what it means. I can say myself, after all these years of repeating, I can't, what is it? Trinadapi sunichena. It seems like something very difficult for me. How to think myself very small. Philosophically, I can understand that we're all very, very tiny little beings. But the ego is so strong, thinking that, yes, I'm very important. Our tendency is to always think of ourselves as the most important. We're so concerned. If I have, see, the, I think there's some fly here or some little, maybe spot of sweat or something. Immediately I become concerned. Some mosquito biting, immediately become concerned. There may be an earthquake somewhere else in the world. I'm not so much concerned about that as some mosquito biting me, because I think I'm very important. So this egoism, how to overcome, just by understanding how great is Krishna, how great are the Vaishnavas that we have to surrender to. That was in compiling this book, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, just exactly this understanding. There is an eternally impassable line of demarcation between the Savior and the saved. Became very clear to me, well, that meditation in compiling this book, that how great are the Vaishnava Acharyas, greater than Krishna, because they, Krishna Shetomara, Krishna is the property of the great devotees. Krishna Dite Para, Tomara Shakati Acha. They have the power to give Krishna. Krishna becomes the property, or is the property, of the devotee. They can give as they like. Here, take Krishna. You're giving Krishna. So that, if we can understand how great are the Vaishnava Acharyas, then we can begin to actually understand our own position as being extremely insignificant. So that's a very healthy understanding. That is the proper understanding. Not like the materialists always want to make themselves important. The Mayavadis, they're so ambitious, they want to be God. Devotees actually are also very ambitious, but in a proper way. Ambitious in the sense, actually there was one time where Mahavidya, one godbrother of mine in England, his mother came to see Srila Prabhupada with a Christian priest who had been overseeing Mahavidya since he was a young boy. So she, among her many complaints to Srila, her main complaint is, why are you spoiling my son's life? So one of her complaints was that, why, you see, devotees, they're not ambitious. Prabhupada said, yeah, that's right. They're not ambitious. And one devotee said, well, Prabhupada, yeah, the devotees are spiritually ambitious. Prabhupada said, no. This idea, ambitious in the idea that I will go ahead, I will make myself great. No, devotees, they just want to serve Krishna, that's all. They don't want to be, even that I will become the right-hand man of Nanda Maharaj, and I'll become a big devotee, big acharya, I'll do so much. Of course, a devotee should want to serve Krishna to full capacity. But this idea, I should become big, I should become great, is the very antithesis of spiritual life. So by understanding how great the Vaishnava acharyas are, and that we are totally dependent on their mercy, then we can begin to appreciate what is our actual position. We're totally dependent. It's not a, it's some just something that we say, but we see that as much as we understand we're dependent on the mercy of the acharyas, that much we can be Krishna conscious. And as much as we consider our position to be anything but Vaishnav Das Anudas Anudas, that much we're cut off from Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So, who are the acharya? They are acharya guru. Guru means heavy. Guru is heavy because he carries Krishna. Krishna is the heaviest. Of course, he doesn't place any burden on his devotees. He's very heavy, can be very heavy for the demons, like that Trinavarta, or again Balaram with Pralamba, become very heavy and press them down. But a devotee carries Krishna in his heart. Tomara hridaye shada govinda vishram. Sadhava hridayang mahyang sadhunang hridayang tvaham. So Krishna is very heavy. He's everything in existence is Krishna. Maya, what is that? Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. The whole universe is Krishna. How heavy is Krishna? Mother Yashoda also. She was holding Krishna. Krishna became all of a sudden so heavy. If Krishna wants to be heavy, then how heavy can he be? He's holding up all the planets without any difficulty. Ananta Shesh has all the planets on his head, holding them without any difficulty. So Krishna is very heavy. Guru means Vaishnava, holding Krishna. How heavy? The message of Krishna is very heavy. Guru means who speaks the message of Krishna. So it's a very heavy message in as much as it's shocking, it's unwelcome to almost everyone. Surrender to Krishna. Take the position of a servant of Krishna. And practically, who wants to hear this? It's a very heavy message. The message is that whatever you are doing is all wrong. So you should simply give all that up and surrender to Krishna. Whatever hogwash you have learned, Srila Prabhupada used to quote, just forget it and surrender at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Chandra. So it's a very heavy message. Those who accept a guru, they receive that message. The message is placed in their heart. The guru transmits knowledge, Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Krishna and Krishna bhakti. He gives this heaviness. So how can we carry that message? We're tiny jivas. How can we carry that? What the guru has to give is nothing light. It's very heavy. So how can we carry that? How can we be strong enough to carry that message? I had some idea about this when Gokul Chandra was showing me the pillars for the temple in Salem, that one pillar has to carry so much weight, much more weight than the pillar itself. But for the pillar to do that, it has to be absolutely straight standing up. It has to be free of any defect. It has to be strong. If you just bring some cheap stone with all cracks in it, it can't hold the weight. If you put it a little bit at an angle, it can't hold the weight. So there are some conditions by which one pillar can carry so much weight. So the disciple also has to be straight, not crooked. And has to be of superior quality, without any cracks. Then we can actually carry the weight of carrying Krishna, carrying the message of Krishna. It is a very heavy thing to be a devotee, because it means going against everything that everyone in this world stands for. It means to do something which is considered antisocial, that you don't mix with people, ordinary people, in an ordinary way. We don't like to eat people's food. We don't like to talk the kind of conversation that they like to speak. We have no regard for whatever they regard. We have no regard for that. So it's a very heavy thing to do. So how can we carry that weight? Only if we're very straight, not at a tangent. If we're absolutely straight, that we're not crooked. We have no other desire. We can only actually carry the weight of Krishna and the message of Krishna if we ourselves make that qualification to be so. Otherwise we can't do it. Then we collapse. We collapse, so we may just like the make some artificial building. Just like in the movies. I don't know in India, but they used to have in the West. Probably they don't do that now. They have sets in which you'll see in the background a whole town, but actually it's just some drawing, some painting. But it looks like there's a whole town in the background. But it's just very well painted. There's nothing actually there. So we can do that. We can have just two-dimensional, without any depth, painting of, it looks like reality, but there's nothing actually there. You see the building, you think, let's go inside this building. There is no building. It's just some imagination, some artist representation. So to actually carry the weight of the parampara, we can't be just a pillar drawn on a piece of canvas. We actually have to be solid and strong. So a devotee who's actually straightforward, pure, and willing to accept the message of the parampara can become a pillar in the parampara. Otherwise, just like there's a drawing of the temple here, we can't, there's no actual value. You can't walk inside that, and it's just a drawing. So superficiality will not help. So Srila Prabhupada, he was the link in the parampara, we can say. That if he hadn't stuck exactly to the principles and desires of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then we all couldn't be here today. the desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. Everyone knew that. Prabhupada did it because he kept the faith that this can be done and should be done. And actually all the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they should have done that. So they all went on in Krishna consciousness in some way or other, but it was Srila Prabhupada who fulfilled the desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we can all be followers of Srila Prabhupada somehow or other. But it is better if we are not just somehow or other followers. But pillars in the parampara. We all have to be gurus, that is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the natural principle of disciplic succession. But we can do so if we agree to accept the weight of the parampara, the whole message, as it is. It's a very heavy message. It's a difficult message to repeat among people who basically don't want to hear it. That has to be spoken. Of course, it may not be that immediately we say everything, but we shouldn't edit or just some portions of the philosophy, just don't speak it because we think people won't like it. The whole teachings have to be given. So, Srila Prabhupada, he not only took the message of Krishna consciousness to the West, but he did so fully, completely, and wholly. He didn't think, well, there's some things Western people might not like, or they might not be able, they might not understand, they might not be able to relate to. So we just give this much and forget the rest. But Prabhupada didn't. He said so many things that completely went against the sensibilities of people raised in the modern society. Because, modern or not modern, to speak the message of Krishna consciousness goes against what materialistic people want to believe. So in every age, if we're to speak in any circumstance, if we're to speak Krishna consciousness as it is, people aren't going to like it. But then if we think, okay, let's just present half a chicken philosophy, Ardha Kukuti Nyan, that just give them what they like, then we lose the whole thing. As the man who wanted to keep half the chicken only. Because then we bring in our own likes and dislikes. And that is audacity. To think that, well, I like this, or other people like that. Instead of understanding that Shastra tells us what Krishna likes. What is the actual fact of the world as Krishna has given it? So if we start editing it according to our likes and dislikes, then we are taking a position, again, it's the same materialistic position, that we don't accept Krishna. We don't accept Sarvam Etad Ritang Manye Yan Mang Vadasi Keshava. We don't accept that everything Krishna says is correct, is for our benefit. We should understand. If we don't like it or we don't understand it, there's something wrong with us. It's not that Krishna says this, therefore we don't like it, therefore it must be wrong. We don't like it, there's something wrong with us. That we should understand. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't present a watered-down version. So that, just see whatever people like and add Krishna consciousness. Just add Krishna somewhere. That may be, at some level, that may be some kind of preaching, but that wasn't Srila Prabhupada's whole program. Ultimately, we have to come to that level of understanding what Krishna wants, what Krishna says, this is reality. And give up the mentality, what I like. I like this, therefore I'll do this, and Krishna has to like it. That's karma yoga at best. Even karma yoga has to be according to Vedic prescriptions. There's no rock and roll in karma yoga, for instance. So this is the heavy message that we have to take if we are to be followers of the parampara. And if we're not, then what's the use of anything? What's the use? If we've actually received the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then if we've understood, if we've even to a small extent understood this, then what is there in the world? What is worth doing? What else? What is that you are telling me? Some devotees, they're playing basketball or something. I don't know. I guess you can play basketball, but why would you want to do that? I can't understand it. I mean, you have Prabhupada's teachings. You can chant Hare Krishna. You want some exercise? Okay, do a little exercise. You can chant Hare Krishna and jump up and down. That's also, you get the same benefit, right? Why should they even, how could they do that? Why? If we've actually heard Prabhupada, if we've got his mercy even to a slight degree, then why should we, how can it even come in our mind to do anything which is not in relation to Krishna? I guess you could say Krishna every time you pat the ball. But you don't. You get a different mentality of competition, winners, losers. You become ball conscious instead of Krishna conscious. So why should we have any desire other than to be Krishna conscious? If we're to be Krishna conscious, we have to fully surrender to Krishna. That may not be very easy for us, but that has to be our aim. To be fully absorbed in the service of Krishna. How are they doing over there? It takes some more time. So these are all very strong words. They should be strong words. If we're to be followers of Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas, then we have to speak like this. We may think, well, you know, who are you? You're just some guy came off the street, didn't know anything, and now you're sitting on a big seat. But having received the message that Srila Prabhupada gave, then what else should we speak? What should we talk about? Should we talk about the material world? Well, actually, it's quite nice. And yeah, there's some suffering, but it's not. How can we talk in this compromising way? The fact is, the material world is miserable. The fact is, if we do not surrender to Krishna, then we're spoiling our life. These are all facts, so, which we are fortunate to have received through Srila Prabhupada, what else are we going to speak? What else are we going to do but practice Krishna consciousness? What else should we speak when we go among the people? We've come to represent Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas. What else should we speak but the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? So we have to speak like this. Especially myself, having taken sannyas. One accepts sannyas not for self-aggrandizement, but so that one will... Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas so that he would be respected, so that people would listen to his message. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did that also, and his followers in disciplic succession. So yes, it's attracting respect, but so that people will listen because you have an important message to give, not for one's own sake. So one accepts sannyas for the sake of serving the acharyas and serving the mission and the message of the acharyas. So having done that, saying is there that a girl comes to dance on the stage and she's putting the veil over her head. So it's contradictory. A girl comes to dance on the stage means she's prostituting herself. She's putting herself there so that everyone can enjoy seeing the beautiful features of her body. But then if she's feeling very shy and puts the veil over her head so that no one can see, it's ridiculous. So either you're bold and shameless or you're shy. You can't be both. So sannyasi is bold and supposed to be bold and shameless. Not for prostituting, but for the sake of the parampara, giving the message of the parampara. So it may seem contradictory that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who taught Trinadapi Sunichena, but he himself accepted sannyas to preach that message. So those who have, especially those who have accepted this position, then you have to speak. We're told to preach Krishna consciousness. That message is very strong. We have to speak it. If you speak it, you have to live it. So what should we do? We have to take a prominent position. Formally accepting sannyas or being a preacher within the Krishna consciousness movement, one has to take a strong and bold position because the message is such that it is required, it is vital, it is unpleasant and unwanted, but still we have to push it. So one has to take a strong position. There's no avoiding that. You may say, well, who are you? Who am I? Nothing. But what is the message that you have to give? It's not for me that I should sit on a big seat or any such thing. But what is the message that has to be given? That should be, why the big position? Why accept honor? Why accept service? Because this, from this position, this message should be given. People should have some impression that there's something important here. What is that importance? The importance is not the feet washing or what, that also as a matter of etiquette, that should be there. But the importance is the message that is to be given. And yes, the foot washing is important because that's part of the message also. That one should respect servants of the parampara. So yes, I've taken this position, qualified or unqualified, or taken this position, not exactly taken this position, but I came into this movement and just practically as a matter of course, that it just happens. If you go on, join, then we're supposed to preach and you go on doing that and then it just naturally happens that some recognition comes. One may try to avoid that, but then if one is to go on preaching, then, well, why avoid it? Why not bring more and more people? If you think, let me hide away in a corner somewhere, then how will the preaching go on? So that would be good. Maybe there'll be a Vyasa Puja ceremony with 50,000 devotees, 500,000 devotees. That would be better. Let many, many come. If they're actually prepared to follow and hear, and I'm prepared to follow Srila Prabhupada and speak as he says, that should be there. Better. Let it expand more and more. So, what should I do? Should this ceremony not be there? It should be there. And actually it should be there for all devotees. All devotees should be glorified. You should all be glorified. For all your efforts in preaching Krishna consciousness, practicing Krishna consciousness. There's so many devotees struggling in so many ways, trying to be Krishna conscious in very difficult circumstances. Many devotees who others may not know, they're at home and in the home situation, it's very difficult for them, but still they're doing their very best to follow all the principles, and practice Krishna consciousness very seriously. Krishna appreciates that. So many of you, you've heard the message of Srila Prabhupada, read the books, and among you there are quite a few who had promising careers, could have made a good name for you, been a successful person in the material world, but you have no more taste for that. You find it unpalatable. And so, have withdrawn and are giving yourselves fully in Krishna consciousness, believing in Krishna. Ananyas chintayanto mang yejanaf pariyupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. People may say, what will you do? You gave up your job. Krishna will look after. If we try to serve Krishna with so much faith, brahmachari may do, that's very good. But a family, and so many people will criticize, you're not looking after your family properly in so many ways. But with the faith that I have to serve Krishna, let me utilize this human form of life for serving Krishna. So many devotees in so many ways are making so many sacrifices for serving Krishna. All the Vaishnavas should be glorified. All the disciples of Srila Prabhupada should be glorified. So many sacrifices the devotees made in the early days of the movement. Now, when we go on Harinam Sankirtan, we just saw here in Rameshwaram that everyone, responses range from neutral to respectful. We didn't see any negative response. But in the early days of the movement, responses were generally neutral at the best, and with various levels of unfavorable. So people would make fun of the devotees. So quite common, devotees would be physically attacked, arrested. This was quite common. Devotees that people would call them crazy, and they really thought they were crazy, like outcasts from a society. So devotees went through many struggles and many difficulties. We have this DVD series, Following Srila Prabhupada. It's in how many DVDs? Like four DVDs? 11. I watched them all, but I didn't remember. Oh, it's the Prabhupada lectures in four DVDs. The lectures are in four DVDs, yeah. So 11 DVDs in which you get an overview of the Hare Krishna movement. From 1965, Srila Prabhupada in the West. Doesn't it begin? To begin in 65 before Prabhupada started the movement. The footage begins from 66 up till 1977. And you can see, you get some idea. We have them available here. I highly recommend it. That time's up. You get some idea of the struggle and the difficulties that Srila Prabhupada's disciples went through to establish this movement. So this glorification is here. It's being arranged for me because I stayed, you could say, in the preaching fire, and now I have some disciples, but actually, you're all Srila Prabhupada's disciples. For the early days struggles, what they did, you all please can offer them all respect, whatever they may be doing now. That Krishna won't forget that. Srila Prabhupada won't forget that. And they don't forget that either. So yeah, this Following Srila Prabhupada DVDs are there. How many hours is that? 21 hours. 31 hours, yeah. I watched it when I had this hernia. I watched that in... I just couldn't do anything all day, so I watched it all. Then we have this... also four DVDs of Prabhupada's... It's in three. With all the recorded lectures of Srila Prabhupada that have been published. There's still more to come. But 1,100 hours of listening. Conversations, mostly in English, some in Hindi. So, it's all available here. Please immerse yourself in Prabhupada consciousness.